welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, our classical arts contributor, Charles Greenfield, speaks with Michael Ellert about the exciting fall performances by the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival. Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council, Bill Nix, delivers his Palm Beach Arts Calendar. Considered the catalyst for Miami's cultural transformation, the Adrian Arsht Center for the Performing Arts of Miami-Dade County is also looked upon as Miami's cultural town center and continues to influence the region's explosive growth in the arts. Miami-Dade County's biggest public-private sector partnership is home to the Florida Grand Opera, Miami City Ballet, and the New World Symphony. Since opening in 2006, the center continues to break their box office records. They have hosted nearly 3 million guests and brought to over 100,000 children in our community free transformational arts experiences. They've recently launched their new website at arshtcenter.org, where you can check out the view from every seat in the house. Optimized for tablets and mobile phones, it also offers mobile ticket purchasing, easy social media interaction, and show reminders, among many other friendly enhancements. The center's eighth season offers more than 30 new shows featuring a mind-blowing list of worldwide talent. And with us today to share a new season of excitement is the center's president and CEO, Mr. John Richard. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, John.
Thanks for having me, Ed. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to read your press releases, a really mind-blowing diversity of great talent. But let's talk about, before we talk about that, let's talk about this year's highlights and successes. You had a great annual gala, I understand.
Oh, we did. We turned the night concert hall with our festival stage into a cabaret program with, literally, we cover the orchestra seats mm-hmm. with the platform so that we can have a great cabaret program. And this year we really, really proud of the great performance that we had from Harry Connick Jr. And it was so great that the co-chairs of the gala on the spot decided to pledge $1 million to the Arts Center, which you know makes the president and CEO go, wow, just like you are. It was a big night for the Arts Center, let me tell you. And we're still really, really proud of the quality of that evening, the business community's participation in supporting us, and it was a great fundraiser for the center. And as a result, we're reemploying those resources with our community engagement programs, making the Arts Center accessible with our ticket pricing, and really having a spontaneous reaction like this has enabled us to do more in the community.
And you, I understand, broke a lot of box office records this year.
We did. The community obviously loves what we're doing. You know, Yogi Berra had an expression, I think it was went something like, if people don't want to come, you can't keep them away. Well, we had Mary Poppins break box office records this past season, and immediately after, Les Mis broke Mary Poppins. The experience for our patrons was terrific. The word of mouth once it opened was fantastic, and the ticket buying was a frenzy. And I think people had a great time attending these two performances, as they did many other performances throughout the past season.
Community outreach and educational offerings for South Florida are one of your main mission statements. Tell me about the Alvin Ailey Camp, fifth season for the camp, and doing very well every year.
Absolutely. We just had our showcase performance in the night concert hall. And we had over 1,700 parents and guardians come to the kids' culmination performance after 6 weeks of our free Ailey Camp at the Arts Center. And it was amazing. It was just it was an incredible experience of young folks coming together over a six-week period and then showcasing their talents to the community. It's our fifth anniversary, and we're going to have our sixth next year.
That's marvelous. Now, your educational outreach also extends in various programs offered by the Arsht. Jazz Roots brings kids from Miami-Dade public schools and other sources.
Young jazz
concerts.
Young jazz musicians have 200 for each performance. Are invited to a sound check Q&A with the artists that are going to perform that night, and then they attend the performance of Jazz Roots that evening for free. And it is about exposure. It is about getting up close and personal with the artists that are on our stage, in the Arts Center being a resource for Miami-Dade Public School and the young musicians that are entertaining and considering jazz as a lifelong pursuit or a hobby.
Ah, so invigorating possible careers. That's just magnificent. What other educational programs are offered every single year? You've got the Rock Odyssey as well.
Yes, we're really proud of this program, and it's funded by Miami-Dade County's CDT funding, of which we bring 25,000 fifth graders to the performance of Rock Odyssey, which connects very clearly with the Greek mythology curriculum in the fifth grade classroom in Miami-Dade College, Miami-Dade Public School. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And you tell me you also interact with Young Arts?
Yeah, we have a great program this past season with Young Arts in the Jazz Roots program, and we're so looking forward to seeing the design concepts of Frank Gehry for their property. It was formerly the location of the Bacardi Corporation on Biscayne Boulevard.
New website, very invigorated and much more interactive.
It is. It's intuitive now. It has the capacity. It's overall more detailed, simple to navigate. It was funded by a national financial institution, and we really went through the steps that a major sophisticated corporation would go through in terms of focus groups and understanding what people wanted from our website. And quite frankly, in this day and age, well over 50% of the people that purchase a ticket to come to an event at the Arts Center are doing it online. So making it accessible, user-friendly, this is the reason for and I invite people to go to artscenter.org and take a little tour. You can see your site before you can see your seat from the site, and you can select it.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a more navigable program, and I think folks are going to like it. Lots of video on it. It'll give you a better sense of program as you're entertaining what you'd like to come and see, and it's going to assist you very quickly in terms of the purchase path.
That's wonderful. Now, can you see your seat in all three of the rooms?
Yes.
Oh, two of the rooms.
Huh? Well, depending on the layout of the Carnival Studio Theater, which is a black box, which has many different configurations. Mm-hmm. But both in the Night Concert Hall and the Ziff Ballet Opera House, you'll be able to see from the seat that you're considering to purchase.
Once again, arshtcenter.org, arshtcenter.org. And our guest today, John Richard, President and CEO of the Arsht. Adrian Arsht Center for the Performing Arts of Miami-Dade County. We'll return in just a moment. We'll tell you who, what, where, when, and when to elaborate on an incredible, really fantastic season coming up with John. Stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. We have 17 minutes past the hour. Ed Bell with you here on South Florida Arts Beat. John Richard, President and CEO of the Adrian Arsht Center for the Performing Arts of Miami-Dade County, our guest today. And in this segment, we're going to talk about all the incredible talent coming to Miami and performing at the various venues at the Arsht Center. Five more shows are still available for Slava's Snow Show. That's a tongue twister. It wraps up August 25th, and that's been a massive success for you all.
Yeah, four running weeks, 30,000 people have been to the show, and you know, as temperatures reach 90 to 100 outside, we've got snow in the Ziff Ballet Opera House. If you want to chill out, we've got we have four shows this weekend, two Saturday, two Sunday, and of course, there's Friday night left and a few tickets left if people are anxious to chill out.
Describe it briefly for us.
I can tell you that we have a jet engine on stage that assists the snow blizzard scene. How's that?
Wow. So Arsht members have been lucky enough to, over the past 3 or 4 weeks, buy their tickets for the season coming up. But general public sale begins September 7th and lasts through the 9th. Is that correct?
September 6th.
September 6th.
We're launching that weekend with 30 new shows go on sale. Mm. And for 48 hours only, we will be waiving the handling fees for any purchases made online.
Bravo.
A special thank you to our patrons who have been supporting us over the past 7 years as we step into the 8th season of the Arsht Center.
No fees for 48 hours, I'm told, and you can go to the ArshtCenter.org website, the new website, to find out more information. But how generous of you, John. Really wonderful. Where do we start? This season is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Really incredible.
You've had a peak. I feel the same way. It is very ambitious, and I know that the Miami community is going to turn out for the diversity of programming that's happening on our stages. We have set our sights very, very high. We are feeling very bullish about the community of Miami wanting to come to the live performing arts, and we want to never let them down in the quality of what we put on our stage. So from jazz to classical music to our Broadway programming, our theater up close program in the Black Box Theater, I'm really excited about our Flamenco Festival this year. We have got something very special for the Miami community set up.
Well, of course, you're bringing back jazz roots for what, their 7th year?
This will be our 6th season.
Sixth season for jazz roots.
Yeah.
The most successful jazz series down here in South Florida since I got here, 1971. I mean, there's nothing like jazz roots.
It has a very special imprimatur. It brings a very diverse audience to the night concert hall. There is an incredible acoustic in the night concert hall, and it allows us to swing wide from the human voice to the beautiful percussionists that have been in the theater. Jazz Roots is a series that people come and have fun, take seriously at the same time, and expect only the great artists from around the world mm-hmm. and locally blended together in one great night of performances. So we open up with the Pink Panther at 50 celebrating Harry Mancini on November 1st. It'll be the first concert in the series. And that's an amalgam of artists with Shelley Berg from the University of Miami and the Mancini Orchestra. That's
going to be a wonderful institution. Yeah. That's you all have really been the main supporter, I feel, in the public view of that great Mancini Orchestra.
Yeah. Well, Shelley is quite a leader at the university. And this is going to be produced with great music and film productions and projections and hit films. And it's going to be a very special night for our audience.
Yes, they have made PBS.
Yes.
Really great, great programs. Broadway in Miami, another big hit. What's coming for that series?
Well, we open up with Mamma Mia, and that is going to be lots of fun. I'm especially looking forward to December 10th through the 15th when we roll in with We Will Rock You, a smash musical hit by Queen. Mm-hmm. We have a perfect show, I think, for the holiday season with Elf. The new Broadway show, Once, will be coming to town. I have seen War Horse on Broadway, and it is magical. Mm. It is an incredible experience for people who have been taken by the art form of puppetry. And it is amazing within seconds of sitting in the theater that you are transposed into this dreamlike experience. It's a children's book as it begins with puppet horse coming on stage with incredible artistry and blend to the lyric of the narrative. It's really something people shouldn't miss when it comes here. War Horse will be here in March, so there's plenty of time to think about it. We have Blue Man Group coming in. And then I think we've got a special program for Miamians, and that's Evita.
Oh, yeah.
On May 27th through June 1st, 2014.
Wow. Stunning. Now, the Night Classical Music Series in the Ziff Hall include some world-renowned names, Leonard Slatkin, Joshua Bell, my distant cousin, Zubin Mehta, and on. Tell us about that excitement.
I'll tell you the one you just missed. The Israel Phils coming in with Mehta.
Wow.
Or maybe you did say that, and I missed you saying that.
No, you're correct, sir.
I'm really looking forward to the Israel Phil coming in. But Deborah Voight opens up on November 15th, an extraordinary soprano who I think is going to lift the Knight Concert Hall with her voice on that evening. Perlman. Whatever he does, it's going to be special. Detroit Symphony Orchestra with Slotkin always has a surprise. And I really think what Josh Bell's doing with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields is a very special listening experience, one in which the human ear can detect all of the instruments together and separately. It's a beautiful listening experience.
The Knight Masterworks Ziff Classical Music Series will be stunning this year. Now, tell me a little bit more about the Theater Up Close. That's a partnership between you all and the University of Miami, I understand, and Zoetic Stage.
Yeah, what our programming team and our executive vice president, Scott Schiller, has created as an architect, is essentially we have created really robust regional theater out of the Carnival Studio Theater with community-based arts theater organizations, including the University of Miami's theater program to Zoetic Stage. And the idea and the notion is anchored in the mission of the Arts Center, and that really quite simply is we believe we're world-class and community-based, and these are not mutually exclusive categories. And so we are presenting the very best from Miami in our Theater Up Close series, and I think we have some really diverse program offerings in the coming season.
Now, who were the geniuses within your expansive staff to book Smokey Robinson? I don't think Smokey's been down here for a few years. And other great names, Whoopi Goldberg. And tell us about some of the highlights of those bookings.
Well, you've touched upon some of the biggest names in our country coming to Miami this coming season. And, Whoopi will be returning. It's a return engagement. And you know what to expect, and then you get surprised by her. Her imagination goes beyond description for most of the time. Smokey Robinson is a favorite of yours, I know, Ed, and he is a consummate artisan. He's such a professional, and he's really got great voice structures still today.
Still today, wow.
He really does.
Bravo, Smokey.
Yep. That's exactly where we want to be. I don't know if you're a fan of Natalie Merchant, but Natalie's coming in with her 10,000 Maniac background, which sold millions of albums, as you know. She's bringing a 38-piece symphonic ensemble to the program. So that should be fun. That should be a very, very interesting night of great music. I'm really looking forward to Buddy Guy.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Great blues with Johnny Lang.
Johnny Lang.
Wow. What a pairing.
Yeah. It's for those of us who love guitar, he's it. He is something to the status of legend before anyone's time in this country as it relates to the picking of a guitar. And I've had the chance to hear him in the Knight Concert Hall before several years ago. And it's why we had to bring him back. He just rocked the house, and people adore him, and he always delivers. It'll be a great concert.
Sure will. We're losing way too many of our great American music legends, and he is now in the upper tier, certainly, of the blues players, as he has been for decades. Yeah. And the younger kids like Johnny Lang are poised to make that step up, but it's wonderful that you are concerned enough to book these great American music legends.
Right. So what we've talked about so far is so much about diversity, and we're bringing to Miami the Eden Rachel project, which is quite simply Rachel is sort of like a one-man UN. He has a group of Middle Eastern musicians from different countries, and it is a company that is a unity band. And they will bring a very distinguished form of music that is intended to lift everyone's spirits about what's good about humanity through music and the artists who have come together to perform together from seemingly very different backgrounds from the same part of this world in the Middle East. That should be a great night on October 17th. It's just really around the corner. And then go to another part of the globe, and we have Ballet Folklorica de Bahia coming to the Arts Center on November 8th, and that is a 38-member Brazilian troupe that certainly can move in shapes and forms like nothing you've ever seen before.
You've always included a lot of great dance. Let's move to membership. You can become a member online on your new website at arshtcenter.org. But what are the benefits?
Well, the benefits are often about access to information about what's coming to town before anyone else. More importantly than the access, I think the benefit is being part of a whole membership program we refer to as Culturists. And we're an army now of members that are supporting and having membership benefits and at the same time enabling the Arts Center to do more with community engagement with kids, accessibility to our program initiatives, some of our free program initiatives like our Free Family Fest, the program that we've been doing over the last 5 years, Free Gospel Sundays. Membership participation and the resources provided are helping us do in the community what we're about.
Our guest today, John Richard, President and CEO of the Adrian Arsht Center for the Performing Arts of Miami-Dade County, 1300 Biscayne Boulevard. You can call them at 305-949-6722 or go to their new beautiful website at arshtcenter.org. John, thank you so much for joining us again. All the congratulations in the world. I know it's going to be a terrific season. And thanks for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thanks, Ed. It's great to be with you.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, this is Ed Bell. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council, gives us his arts calendar. Founded in the summer of 1992, this chamber music nonprofit has delighted thousands of its patrons and donors, performing over 400 works over the decades and making available 6 lauded CDs on the Clavier label. Here's Charles Greenfield to tell us more.
It's been common knowledge for over a decade that South Florida is no longer a provincial backwater for music and cultural activities. With the emergence of powerful music anchors like the Arts Center and Miami Beach's New World Symphony, there has been a shift also among smaller organizations in the arts to consolidate in harder economic times through creating imaginative funding and discovering less exploited niches. In the northern area of South Florida, namely the Palm Beaches, musical activity has remained strong and somewhat under the radar. A fine example is the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival. Clarinetist Michael Forte, flutist Karen Dixon, and bassoonist Michael Ellert, all 3 principal chairs in the Palm Beach Opera Orchestra, have gathered 19 very fine regional chamber and symphonic players and elicited their suggestions for programs that serve Palm Beach and Broward audiences. Their 2013 summer series in July featured serenades by Brahms and Beethoven, an arrangement of tunes by Rossini, a Dvorak string quintet, and a Mozart viola-violin duo. Michael Ellard studied at Juilliard with Harold Koltzer and in Israel with Mordecai Rechman of the Israel Philharmonic. Besides being principal bassoon of the Palm Beach Opera Orchestra, he freelances for the Southwest Florida Symphony in Fort Myers, Boca Raton Sinfonia, and is the newly appointed principal bassoon of the Opus One Orchestra of the Miami City Ballet. He is on the board of directors and is a founding member of the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival. He also performs on all 6 Chamber Music Palm Beach CDs on the Clavier Music production label. Michael Ellert, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you for inviting me to speak with you today.
Give us a quick history of the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival, its origins, organizers, and mission statement.
Well, in 1992, Michael Forte, who is the principal clarinet player of the Palm Beach Opera, approached myself and Karen Dixon about playing some chamber music during the summer. And I had no idea that he actually meant playing some performances. I thought we were just going to get together and do something in the summer to us play chamber music with our friends. Turned out that he had already spoken to Lee Bell, who was then working at the Palm Beach Junior College in Lake Worth, and they had talked about actually doing a concert series. So with Karen Dixon, the principal flute player, and I'm the principal bassoon player at the Palm Beach Opera, we started this festival. We played our first concert, and we're expecting nobody in the audience except for possibly Michael Forte's parents, and walked out to a full audience. So we were encouraged by that response, and we got our 501c3 status that summer, and now we're in our 22nd year.
Well, that's not a bad beginning. How do your concerts differ from those of other South Florida chamber music groups?
I think our biggest difference is there are two. One is that we have a core group of 10 musicians. That's a string quintet. That's two violins, viola, cello, and bass, and a woodwind quintet, flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, and horn, and then a trumpet and a piano. And we try very hard to mix up the ensembles as much as possible so that we don't do an all-string quartet concert or an all-woodwind quintet concert, which, of course, there's nothing wrong with, but we try to really mix it up. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that we really try to vary the music so that you might hear a Beethoven string quartet, but you also might hear a flute and French horn duet by Jan Bach. So we really mix it up a lot that way, and it's very eclectic and very different for the audience.
Now, how do you select your repertoire then and determine what your anchor pieces will be?
That's actually a good question. We send out a wish list to all the regular members of the festival, and they send us, they want to play a Brahms trio for piano, violin, and cello. And then we use that as the anchor piece, and then we'll work around that piece to find smaller pieces and pieces that fit the other instrumentation needs that we have of the 12 people that normally play. So we start with those pieces. Sometimes the anchor piece may not be a big piece, but it might be, let's say, a flute quartet by Mozart. And then we figure out around that who else needs to play, and then we might find a big piece to end the program with. But it's a combinations of instruments and requests from our fellow performers.
Now, you just concluded your 22nd annual summer festival on July 28th. In less than a month, you'll be launching your inaugural fall series. Is there a theme for the fall concerts? What are some of the works you will be performing?
Well, we actually don't have a theme per se. We're going to continue with what we do, which is our eclectic programming. And some of the big pieces that we already have decided on is that Michael Forte will play the Mozart Clarinet Quintet, which probably is one of the greatest pieces of chamber music ever written. The strings and piano will play a Brahms C minor trio for piano, violin, and cello. We will be doing a Nino Rota piece for flute, violin, and piano, a James Stevenson trumpet sonata, a piece by François-René Gebauer for bassoon, violin, and cello. There is going to be the Stravinsky Octet, which is a mixture of woodwinds and brass. The Jolivet Pastorale de Noël for flute, bassoon, and harp. It's very eclectic and very mixed up with the instrumentations.
Now, you've said that your festival should be called the Just Trust Us Festival. You said you always pull out pieces nobody knows and a lot of us haven't heard. And you've discovered all kinds of composers who are wonderful and no one has heard of. South Florida audiences, they tend to be quite conservative. Isn't there a risk involved?
There's a big risk. A couple of years ago, we programmed the Schoenberg Verklärt de Nacht, which is Schoenberg. I mean, he's got his name on it. However, it is one of the most romantic pieces ever written. It's more Brahms in some ways than Brahms himself. So what our audiences have discovered is that even if they, and maybe even especially if they don't recognize the name, they may walk out going, how come I've never heard of this composer before? How is it possible?
Well, that's a wonderful piece, the Schoenberg, and
yes.
I certainly wouldn't have walked out on that. To date, you've recorded 6 CDs on the Clavier label under the name Chamber Music Palm Beach. Do you have plans to make additional recordings? And if so, what works will you include? And where can folks go to hear selections from your recordings?
Well, we are talking about maybe making a seventh recording next summer, possibly, maybe the summer after that. Repertoire is not chosen until we actually secure time and place and all that stuff. So right now we have no idea what we'll record on that. But I promise you what it will be was, again, just trust us, because all of our recordings are mostly pieces that have either never been heard before or recorded before, or have only been recorded maybe once, or is out of print. So we really do look for things that people are looking for, if they're looking for something different, rather than recording all the things that the big ensembles always record.
Now, finally, what do you see in the near future for South Florida in terms of cultural growth, especially in the Palm Beaches?
Well, when I arrived in Florida myself, it was 1983, and there were things going on here. There was Palm Beach Opera, there was Palm Beach Symphony, there was Ballet Florida. But the paradigm had always been, and it still is to a certain degree, that there's nobody here during the summer, and that people just go home, the snowbird syndrome. We have disproved that, and we want to continue. I think what we realize now is that a very small percentage of Palm Beach County residents are actually snowbirds. Most people really do live here all year round, and I think that Palm Beach is one of the best places in the world to live. It's beautiful weather, and there's great people down here, and I think the cultural scene just needs a little support from everybody out there, but I think this is a great place to be, and I think we're going to see great things happening culturally all around the county.
Well, with your fall series coming up soon, I'm sure that the crowds will be coming, and Michael Ellard, I want to thank you for attending South Florida Arts Beat.
And thank you again for inviting me to talk with you.
The Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival has been bringing enjoyable and accessible music to Palm Beach County audiences now for over 22 years. With their combination of romantics like Beethoven and Dvorak, modern composers such as Villa-Lobos, Kachaturian, and Dognani, and lesser-known contemporary composers, the formula has worked well. It will be interesting to see how they take their festival and extend it to a fall and perhaps spring concert series. For information, call 800-330-6874 or go to their website at pbcmf.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-dee-doo-ya-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, ropa vieja. Facebook, I think most listeners know, has a larger population than, well, possibly, Earth. It is too big to contemplate or probably trust, but there is one small colony on Facebook I have come to find haven and even sense in. It is a sub-community called I Remember Key West When. I go there to remember, savor, and taste the roots of my cooking all over again. Other memory treasure salvers who still live full-time down there, or at least seem to, post pictures of the places I wandered into as I came to know my adopted hometown. Those fellow Facebookers help blow on the tiny sparks of recollection until they become a blazing inferno in my mind and take me to the first moments and flavors of the South Florida I was loving. Ropa Vieja was one of the first dishes I tried and instantly loved in Key West in the 1970s. Somewhat incongruously, I was introduced to it via two gentlemen from Detroit named George and Tony. The happy couple had come down somewhere around 1976 and bought a restaurant of long-standing Cuban family ownership on Duval Street named El Cacique. Those men may have been newcomers to town, but they had the good sense of letting the Cuban family members continue the cooking and serving and keeping the decor as it always was. George and Tony loved the party lifestyle of their newly adopted island, as did so many of us. George, the more jovial and larger man, would regale us with gossipy pretenses of shock and bawdy laughter while recapping the previous night's revelries at some legendary bar of the times. While Tony, the quieter one, would shake his head and hold it gently as if it were a cracked egg in danger of bursting. Of course, maybe he held his head due to the extra shots of rum George could handle, but the slender Tony could not. Anyway, Ropa Vieja literally translates as old clothes, as George informed us, with a wry smile and a, hey, it tastes great shrug. He was right. The slowly braised flavor of less expensive but more tasty cuts of beef have always been the most interesting of all to me. The meat is cooked until it is in tatters, hence the ragged sartorial reference. My chef friends, Jose Garcia of Philadelphia and the great Douglas Rodriguez from here in Miami, both reach back to their mother's methods and cook the meat in a pressure cooker. I love the results that the pressure cooker yields. I wish I had grown up learning how to deal more intuitively with that effective but volatile device. An egg garnishes a good many dishes of Spanish origin. And although it's not traditional for Ropa Vieja, I included one in my Ropa Vieja recipe when I wrote my third cookbook, New World Cuisine. The egg also came from my memories of the rum-damaged Tony and his habit of cradling his own noggin when George first set the dishes of the tomatoey, beefy stew before us back at El Cacique. Artistic license is a wonderful thing. Going back even further in my life is my Illinois hometown. It is named Mundelein. I am not advocating anyone joins Facebook, but there is a sub-community there called I Remember Mundelein when Mundelein was cool. I remember that too, but I hardly ever see anyone on that page raving about the foods we ate back then. Maybe that is part of why I ran off to Florida. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West Kitchen and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Peanut Butter. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And we say hello today to Mr. Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Bill, great to have you back as always.
Glad to be here, Ed. Of course, you know this is a significant day for me.
Yes, sir.
Before I get along too far, let me just say how much a blessing it has really been for me to work with you over the years. And for our audience, this is my last radio show with Ed. I'm retiring from the Cultural Council at the end of this month. And it started a journey some 15 years ago, and I've really enjoyed promoting Florida's cultural capital, and Ed, it's been a blast.
It sure has been.
You know, we live in such a rich area of art, culture, history, and nature-based experiences that actually talking about it and encouraging people to enjoy has really just been fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plus you and I, we've had some conversations, and we've seen the growth and development and expansion of this cultural industry over all these years, and it really has been nothing less than phenomenal. So I appreciate the effort that you put in at ArtSpeed and all the work you do, and especially the opportunity you gave me to come on and talk about Palm Beach County. And I just think about, for those of us who've been here 20, 30 years, you remember when some people consider this a cultural wasteland. No more.
Yeah.
No more. The world is flocking South Florida and Palm Beach County, enjoying all of our cultural assets. And actually, as our brand says, culture has found its place in the sun, not just a place to lay out on the beach, but to explore and enjoy. So, Ed, thank you much for this opportunity. And for our listening audiences, there will be others who will come in after me and talk about all the great things that's happening in Palm Beach County. And so we ask the Arts Beat listeners to continue to listen.
Sure. Well, Bill, I'd like to wholeheartedly thank you for your great years, your many years of generous support of South Florida Arts Beat by providing us with your great Palm Beach arts calendar on a monthly basis. In fact, let me thank you for your superb work as an arts activist for all of Florida in your fundraising trips to Tallahassee and Washington, D.C. over the years. We are genuinely going to miss you on the show and your invaluable support for the arts throughout South Florida. There's nobody like you, Bill.
Oh, thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate it. Of course, our listening audience is saying, that's good for you, Bill, but what's up for us?
Well,
let me get into that.
Yes,
you know?
Sir. Go ahead.
There's plenty, of course, going on. But, you know, because schools are just beginning, I wanted to share some things about what children can continue to do. The summer may be over, but there's still a lot of places that can be both fun and they can learn at the same time. And one place is the fabulous and very interactive Children's Schoolhouse Museum in Boynton Beach. It's a wonderful venue that reminds you of the early days of school, but it really is a playground of activities and lessons on Florida and this region. It's a great place and a great help for parents in sharing the basis of how things are getting done and were done back in the day, but it captures the imagination of kids. Plus, there's activities, you know, throughout the year on Saturdays. But it's open all year long, and it's really just a great place to go. That's the Children's Schoolhouse Museum. And we've got another children's museum, and it's housed on a complex of several buildings right off I-95 in Boca Raton. And this interactive museum also sparks the interest in learning about history, commerce, arts, and crafts, and is a wonderful place for parents and grandparents to take kids and to use the museum to talk about family history, their ancestors, and their family values that families need to pass down to their kids. Further west on Military Trail, but also in Boca, is Sugar Land Park, which is not only an area of active participation and recreation, but also houses the Willow Theater that produces totally engaging productions for children of all ages, but especially for young children up to the age of 12. A part of the same complex is the Science Emporium, where kids can interpret the world that they live in through science, technology, and engineering. Also a really popular destination, of course, is our Palm Beach Zoo, a conservatory for animals from Florida, as well as Central and South America. Now, if you can make it out tonight, this Friday, and on until the end of September, these are what are called safari nights, and it's one of the few times when visitors can get a chance to come out and hear and see the sights and sounds of the wild after dark. And it happens every Friday through September from 5:30 to 9 o'clock. And look at the zoo for things like the celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month, which is during September, and Boo at the Zoo, which is during October. And, of course, we talked about our brand-new South Florida Science Museum and Aquarium, which is right next door. So you can make it a day-long adventure, and both of them are right off 95 at Southern Boulevard. I want to mention a really magical place that I really have mentioned periodically, and that is the Puppetry Art Theater in Delray Beach in Pineapple Grove. It's celebrating 20 years of entertaining audiences through the magic of puppets. And these theatrical productions come from around the world. They stage them with different types of puppets. They have a puppetry store as well as they teach puppetry art. And it's right around the corner from Arch Garage and a block off Atlantic Avenue. In September, thousands of tiny loggerhead turtles begin their march to the sea. And one of the few places in the world where this happens is Palm Beach County, specifically the northern part. So the Loggerhead Marine Life Center in Juneau is where you want to start. I understand that this year was a record year for nesting, so we can expect many, many turtles. And the center is a great place for an up-close encounter, but also provides education and interactive experiences about that whole ecosystem up there. And finally, since you're near Jupiter, head over to the Jupiter Lighthouse and Museum for some beautiful views of the Loxahatchee River, and stories of early Florida. You can climb the lighthouse, tour the museum, you can walk the trails. It's just a beautiful place to learn and experience together. After the tour, you can visit one of the many restaurants along the river. Ed, you can sit back and just chill, but isn't that what living in South Florida is all about? And remember, for more information on things to do in Palm Beach County, go to palmbeachculture.com. Ed, I think I'm going to take my own advice and just go chill now that I'm retiring. And as they say at the Square Grouper Cafe in Jupiter, overlooking the Loxahatchee River, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So take care, my friend, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
That's Mr. Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. And we say take care, my friend, to you, Bill. It's been almost 10 years of great reportage about the growth of the arts in Palm Beach County, and we have so loved your wonderful work. Please enjoy your wonderful retirement. You more than deserve.
Well, I appreciate that, Ed, and we'll see you down the road, I'm sure.
Let me remind you that the Florida Keys and Key West Museum and Attractions Weekend, providing free or value-added admission passes to participating museums and attractions throughout the Florida Keys, starts today and runs through Sunday, the 25th. To participate, log on to WLRN.org. And the Gay Men's Chorus of South Florida will hold auditions for new singers Saturday, August 24th, beginning at 9:30 in the morning, and Monday, August 26th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. at the Sunshine Cathedral, 1480 Southwest 9th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. For more info, go to gmcsf.org. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Thanks today to our technical director, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Norman Van Aken, and Bill Nixon. Once again, we wish a great retirement to Bill, and again, thank him for his magnificent support for the arts here on South Florida Arts Beat. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us at 305-995-2221 or email us at info@WLRN. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.